Great God and Father in heaven that we have. The song right before the scripture reading, He Lives Within My Heart. I love that song. You ask me how I know He lives? Norris, I know. Because He's inside my heart. And it means a lot to us as Christians that we can stand here today and worship our Father in heaven, and we can know that He loves us. We can know that He is here for us and He's protecting us each and every day of our life. Jacob just read for us, "Our Father knoweth what things we have need of before we ask." God is looking after us as Christians. God's desire is that each one of us would be obedient to Him. Each one of us will be followers of Jesus. Each one of us would dedicate our life in service to God each and every day of our life. There is no greater life than the Christian life. There's no greater life that we can spend than in service to God. Today we want to honor our fathers. Today we want to look at Dad, and we want to look at the influence that they have had. But at the same time, good dads come from our Father in heaven. Dads, especially dads today of young children, and being a dad never ends, it never goes away. We all know that we help our children, we encourage our children, and I look at things a little different. I look at things kind of an old-fashioned way. I look at things like this. I think Dad is the one that leads the family. Or at least Dad should be the one that leads the family. And I'm not talking about just my family. I'm talking about the bigger family. That as we look at the dad in a family, that person should always be focused and dedicated and focused on getting his family to heaven. So this morning, each dad that's here this morning, are you focused on getting your family to heaven? Are you focused on dedicating your service, your life, not only to God, but to your children and to your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, all those who's in your family? Have you dedicated to leading your family to heaven? This morning in the class in the back, our young people, we're talking about the domino effect, decision making. And one of the things it brought up today in our class was replacing the bad with good. Anything that's in our life that's bad, we need to take the bad out and replace it with good. And it's not always easy because we all struggle. We all have temptation. We all have sin. We all fall down from time to time, and we all struggle. But what we've got to do, and as they pointed out, and we talked, and Norris is in that class with me and helps me, and I appreciate that. But one of the things we talked about this morning was Joshua, when he said, "As for me and my house, we're going to what? Serve the Lord." You know, that's dedication. That is saying, I have decided, today we say, I've decided to do what? Follow Jesus. There's no turning back. There's no turning back. But Joshua said way back when, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose you this day, is what he said. You decide today what you're going to do. But I love that passage because I can almost see him, but I'm going to tell you something. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I talked about that in class, and the author of this book brought out, it's not just a one-time decision. It's something we have to decide. It's something we have to do every day of our life. Not only am I going to follow Jesus, not only am I going to serve God today, I'm going to do it tomorrow and every day of my life. Now, that's really where we fall short. That's really where the struggle is in life, isn't it? It's not becoming a Christian. It's not deciding I'm going to follow Jesus. It's the endurance part, that I want to continue to do this. So as we think about Joshua, I'm going to serve the Lord, maybe we need to say that every day. Maybe every day of our life when we get up, we need to honestly say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to dedicate ourselves each day of our life in service to God. You know, that's one thing we'll never regret. We're all going to have regrets in our life, but our service to God is not going to be one of them. It's not going to be. Then we've got the Lord's Prayer in this text that Jacob read for us. And the significance of that. But then those last two verses, when he talks about forgiveness. For if you forgive men their trespasses, you forgive men their problems, their sins, you help people along, your Father's going to forgive you as well. Oh, how I need my Father to forgive me. So I need to be a loving spirit. I need to be a loving mind. I need to be a loving soul that I'm out trying to help other people serve God and dedicate their life to God and not hold grudges and be that person that encourages other people to do their life and their service to God each and every day of their life. So these are examples. These are examples of what we need from our dads. These are examples of what we need from our Father on this earth, that they help us and they instill in our minds and they help transform us to be a servant, a humble servant to God. Before we get into the meat of the lesson, I do want to go over some things that I found as we think about Father's Day, we think about our dads. Someone wrote, World According to Dad. These are things we've heard. I've heard a lot of these, and I know what time it is. Y'all don't have to look. I'm looking at it. It's already a quarter till, Miss Kay. I'll get you out. The World According to Dad. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Don't forget to check the oil. Bring back all the change. How should I know? Ask your mother. I use that a lot. I'm not made out of money. When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, and it was uphill both ways. I've heard this one. You are going, and you will have fun. Who's paying the bills around here anyway? I like this one. You got to think about this one. Be ready. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think? And this one is popular. Why? Because I said so. That's the only why you get. Then another little illustration I found. I thought this was funny. It says, parents spend the first part of a child's life urging them to talk and walk, and the rest of the childhood telling them to sit down and be quiet. Funny how we raise our children, isn't it? Let us think for real quick a couple of areas that we can help. Not only, and I know a lot of us have already raised our children, and a lot of us, as we think about our life, we think, what can I do? We can all do something. Every one of us, male, female, it doesn't matter. Even though this is Father's Day, we can take this lesson and we can take it and we can put it in our life and say, I can make a difference. And that's what this is really all about when we think about our sermon, as we think about mothers and we think about fathers. How can I make a difference? Two things I want to mention this morning as we think about providing things. And the first one I think we'll touch on is that we have to be thankful for the provisions that's been provided for us, the material things. The NIV, and I normally don't use that, but I was comparing some versions this week, and I like what it said in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, and it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. So when we think about the first thing we are to provide for others, we've got to provide for their needs. And if we fail to take care of our family, if we fail to take care of our loved ones, he says you're worse than an infidel, one version, or an unbeliever. Well, what does that mean? What's the comparison to that? What is it talking about? The point is that even unbelievers take care of their family. Those in the world, those that's not even concerned about God, you watch them. For the most part, they see to those needs. So the challenge there is that we've got to make sure that we're meeting those needs. If not, we're worse than they are, because the unbelievers will even do the very same thing. You know, what a powerful verse when we think about it. Illustration, my grandfather, it says, R.C. Myers, came from Kentucky. He married a Kansas girl and settled down in the Indian Territory, which later became Oklahoma. Said they had 16 children. It never occurred to my grandfather that the government should take care of his family. That was his responsibility. He was a law officer before statehood, but became a sharecropper in order to feed his family. Their poverty did not discourage him from his personal pride of taking care of his own. He raised his children without the benefit of electricity or running water. He died without ever having a driver's license. His children, nevertheless, it said, grew up as hardworking and devout. I'm confident that in spite of his poverty, he done a better job of providing for his own than the government. All that being said, why I wanted to read that was it leads us into our second point, our second thing, and we want to concentrate on this morning. We got to provide for our family. We should not look for other people to provide for us. We've got to take some responsibility about ourselves and our lives. You know, we make decisions. Dad came forward this morning. Dad had made decisions in his life, and he got to a point in his life that he owned that, and he said, I've got to come back, and I've got to make this right. We've got to own decisions that we make in our life, and we've got to stand and take care of our own. That's not to say we don't need help. We don't get help from time to time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking responsibility of who you are and what you have and your responsibilities on this earth, and that's what this is pointing to. And that leads us, and don't forget the verse that we just read, that you're worse than an unbeliever if you don't do these things, that you don't love and you don't help and you don't tend to these needs. It leads us to the next point. Not only are we to provide these material things, we've got to provide spiritual things. Now, we know we're worse than an infidel if we don't take care of this. Well, how bad are we if we don't take care of the spiritual needs of our family, that we don't take care of God in relationship of teaching and encouraging and directing and guiding our family to heaven? Let me ask you something. What's most important in your life? I ask the young people all kind of crazy questions in the back from time to time. Some of them look at me like I am crazy. So let me ask you this morning. If I were to ask you, and I'm not going to, but point blank right now, what is the most important thing in your life, Nick? What would it be? Don't answer me. What would it be? Folks, if you don't say, my family getting to heaven, something's wrong. If the most important thing in your life is not your family being in heaven one day, then you need to sit down for just a minute. You need to think about this. Because all this other stuff's going to be gone one day. No matter what we talk about, no matter what we think we want or we need. I made a statement yesterday. It might have been David and I talking. I don't know who I was talking to yesterday. And I said, you know, 30 years from now, it's not going to matter what I think anyway. I mean, you think about that. There gets a point in our life, and I always thought I was young. I realize I'm not young. Half my life is way over. I'm past that point. I know there's some in here. Y'all tell me on the way out that you wait to get to be my age. I know. But I realized in my life is what I'm talking about. Let me talk about me for a minute. I realized that in my life, you put, if I live 30 more years, and I don't know that I will or I won't, but if I live 30 more years, where will I be? And whatever I think's most important in my life right now is not near as important as my family, my loved ones, and you all being in heaven one day. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world, everything in it? If you lose your own soul, what have you profited? The answer? Nothing. Nothing. So the second point is, we've got to be an encourager to our family. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 is the obvious verse that as we think about faithful instruction and dedication in teaching our children, one of the versions I looked up said, don't keep scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful, it says. Rather, bring them up in loving discipline, and the Lord himself approves. Then if you look at the King James Version, It says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Does or did your dad ever say this statement to you? Pay attention to what you're doing. I heard it a lot. You know, those words still ring true today, no matter how old we are. David, pay attention to what you're doing. And I can say that to you, and you know that I love you, and I mean that. Pay attention, Charles, to what's going on around you. Pay attention to what you're doing. Because every decision you make can be a very, very critical decision when it comes to your soul. When your kids was growing up, you know, you might have told them, don't be afraid to ask questions in school. You'll never learn anything if you don't ask questions. Well, we pull toward that way, and we want our children to learn. We want them to know, but we've got to give them some direction when it comes to their spiritual life, when it comes to God. I said it, I forget where I say it, whether I say it in the back or up here, so I'm just going to act like I hadn't said it up here. If you're waiting on your children to get the knowledge that what they need, it takes more than 30 minutes on Sunday morning and 30 minutes on Wednesday night. We can't give your children, your grandchildren, everything you need sitting in a classroom. It's got to be more to it than that. And we've got to encourage our children. We've got to help them to do that and get to where they need to be. An article says, are you a coach or a critic? Here's a sad confession of one father. He said, I took my children to school, but I did not take them to church. I taught them to drink, but not of living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not in Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not to be fishers of men. I made the Lord's Day a holiday rather than a holy day. I taught them that church was full of hypocrites, and I made the greater hypocrite of them and me. I gave them a color TV, but provided no Bible. I handed them the keys to the car and did not give them the keys to the kingdom of God. I taught them how to make a living, but failed to bring them to Christ, who alone can make a life. Teaching and directing and encouraging people to make godly decisions. It's the most important thing that any of us can do, is being an encourager. I want to close with this poem. I thought it was pretty good. It's called A Letter to Dad. There's so many things I'd like to tell you face to face. I either lack the words or fail to find the time and place. But in this special letter, Dad, you'll find, at least in part, the feelings that the passing years have left within my heart. The memories of childhood days are all that you have done to make our home a happy place and growing up such fun. I still recall the walks we took, the games we often played, the confidential chats we had while resting in the shade. The letter comes to thank you and for the needed words of praise, the counsel and the guidance too that shaped my grown-up days. No words of mine can tell you, Dad, the things I really feel, but you must know my love for you is lasting, warm, and real. You made my world a better place, and through the coming years, I'll keep these memories of you as childish souvenirs. We all have memories. We all look at our life and we all say, I like this, I dislike that. I remember this, I don't remember that. A few days ago, or a month or so ago, I had a lady come up to me that said we went to school together. She called me by name. Her face looked familiar, but that's all I remember. And she finally told me, she said, you don't know who I am. I said, oh, sure I do. Who am I? Some things we don't remember. Some things are important to us that we'll never let go.